And you'll find our text in verse 11, Isaiah chapter 49, and at verse 11. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Now, in this chapter, there are some very wonderful things. We read the whole of the chapter, and in this chapter there are some very gracious promises. And the Lord says, I will do it. And also in this chapter, there are some most impossible things. But the Lord says, I will do them. Now I take it this wonderful promise here, verse 11, in the context and in the circumstances, this wonderful promise refers to God's ancient people being brought out of Babylonian captivity. That's the immediate promise, being returned to their own land. Now, humanly speaking, it was an impossibility. It was like a great, insurmountable mountain. There was no way. But the Lord said, I will do it. The Lord said, I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. There were so many mountains, literally, between Babylon and Jerusalem. And there were a lot more mountains, metaphorically, impossible things. And the Lord says, I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. And you can read later on in the Word of God how he did it. So that's the meaning of the word literally in its context when Isaiah spake it. But like all these later chapters in Isaiah, there's a looking forward to gospel days. A looking forward to the glorious work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as the Redeemer of his people. Now, it's he who speaks here. The Son of God incarnate, our dear Lord Jesus. He says, I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Now, friends, with the Lord's help, I want to bring this before you in two ways this morning. First of all, as it concerns our Lord and Savior himself and the many mountains that were in his way before the everlasting salvation of his people. And then, secondly, how lovingly and graciously he fulfills this word in the lives of his people. As many of you know, this is a part of the Bible which I'm very fond of quoting. I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Now, before the people of God could be saved, before there could be any hope for any lost, ruined, guilty sinner, before salvation could ever appear, there were all these mountains that were in the way. And the first mountain before the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ was this: that there was not a single sinner who would be born who ever deserved salvation, who ever deserved hope, who ever deserved mercy. And why should the Son of God in glory take notice of a wretched, ruined race? A race who would reject him, despise him. Now that was the first mountain. And what was it? Romans 5:20. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In the heart, in the loving heart of the Son of God from all eternity. You know, we say these things and we've heard them. But think the wonder of it, that the Son of God, looking down from everlasting, his delights were with the sons of men. Well, his delights were with his Father, rejoicing ever before him. But we read that he was, this is in Proverbs 8:31, we read that he was rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. And it pleased him to love a number that no man could number with an everlasting love. The riches of his mercy, the display of divine sovereignty, this great mountain leveled in his everlasting purposes in the covenant of grace, that he would be willing to come to this earth, willing to be a man of sorrows, willing to suffer, bleed, and die for unworthy, guilty sinners. Now, what a mountain that was in the way. And there was one thing that leveled this mountain, and it can be expressed in one word: love. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners. That mountain was leveled. You see, apart from that, when Adam fell and sin entered the world, the whole human race, the whole of creation would have been obliterated. But the mountain had already been removed. There was a people dwelling in his heart, so creation could not be destroyed. So instead of the first word being condemnation, there was a promise. And the first action, instead of being destruction, was sacrifice and bloodshed and a coat of skins. In our text, I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. But then there was another mountain in the way of the Son of God if he must come to earth. If it was necessary that he should live on the earth, and that he should bleed, and that he should die, how could he who is Almighty God become a man without ceasing to be God? And if he were to be born of a woman, How was it possible that he could become a real man and not partake of human sin? What a mountain this was. And we see it in the mystery of the virgin birth. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Oh, eternal wisdom laid that mountain low, so that there was a way that the Son of God could come, blessed be his name, could come to become a real man and never cease to be Almighty God. Become a real man with no trace of sin. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. And then there was another mountain. It was necessary that the Son of God should live a perfect, holy, spotless life in obedience to the law, that which none of his people could ever do. That holy life of perfect obedience, without a spot, without a blemish, that he might reckon to his people's account for their justification. So right from the beginning, Satan sought to destroy him. First of all, when Herod slew all the children round about Bethlehem. And then that sore temptation in the wilderness when he suffered being tempted. See, if there had been the slightest blemish, then that righteousness would never have availed. And we read that the devil departed from him for a season. Have you noticed all the way through, there seemed to be the power of hell let loose? All these demon-possessed people, and all the opposition of the scribes and the Pharisees, and all the attempts to entangle him in his speech. Oh, how he leveled that mountain. The dreadful opposition of sin and Satan and the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And then when Satan tempted him, if thou be the Son of God. And that dreadful mountain of opposition and temptation and affliction that the Son of God had to endure. But in his loving obedience to his Father's will, in his loving obedience to his Father's law, and in love to his poor, unworthy people, that mountain also was made low. And then, as I'm sure all of you are thinking, came that greatest mountain of all mountains. Now let's be clear, though we can't altogether understand it. Our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, in his pure, spotless humanity, the Lord Jesus, in his sinless humanity, shrank from the cross. Not just the suffering and the agony, but his Father hiding his face and all that weight of sin to be laid on him. Friend, if you want to see this mountain as it reached almost to the skies, you see it in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, I've heard of those, spoken to those in the church who have visited Gethsemane and couldn't bear it. There would be tears streaming down their faces, even speaking about it. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now that's the height of the mountain. Nevertheless, and that wonderful word, it brought the mountain down and it leveled it to the dust. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. And then there was one last mountain. We see those loving hands of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus laying the lifeless body of our Redeemer in the cold grave. Now there it seemed that death was reigning. There it seemed that Pilate and the Romans were victorious. That last mountain. And you know the outcome. The resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he rose triumphant from the dead, taking the sting from death and the victory from the grave, leading captivity captive, bruising the serpent's head, rising to live, to die no more. I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. So before going on, may the Holy Spirit enable us just to pause for a moment in worship and adoration and love and praise to say, why me? Perhaps some in the congregation to feel a personal interest. Perhaps some realize unto you therefore which believe he is precious. Now to continue in our text. I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. We have many mountains. We have so many things in our lives and circumstances, in our souls, in our families, in our relationships with others, in the Church of God. As we think of the unknown way, some with things concerning their health, some those that they love. Mountains. You know what it means. These things And you have them with you. You have them before you. These things, and you can't get through them. And you can't get round them. And you can't get over them. They're dark, gloomy, threatening mountains. And you feel at times that they're going to fall on you and crush you. You know, it's a striking description of our hard things and our problems and our troubles. Mountains. And if you are a child of God, the Lord Jesus is going to make all your mountains away. Every one of them. He says, they are my mountains and they are his because he has appointed you should have them in your life. And they are his because he is going to deal with them. My mountains. And I will make them away. All of them. Every one of them. Well, what a subject. Let's begin with a vital point. If brought into real concern spiritually, born again of the Spirit of God, our great mountain, our sins and our souls and a never-ending eternity and the judgment day, and how shall I stand in that great day? Now, friend, I ask you directly, is that your chief, your great concern? And does it rise up, or does it ever rise up like a mighty mountain before you? What a wonderful thing it is that we have the glorious gospel of the grace of God. It speaks of the blood of Jesus. It speaks of the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. It speaks of how the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Because however high this mountain rises, all the sins of a believer are completely blotted out. There is no mountain there. There's no mountain to be seen. The atonement has been made. Oh, but what is it personally? As you're led, feeling something of this great mountain, what is it personally? It's too great. It's too heavy. You can't deal with it. Oh, to look to the Savior, to rest upon his merit, to plead his precious blood, and for the mountain to disappear. Now, some see it in a moment. Some have to wait a long time. Some, maybe their eyes are dim, their spiritual eyes are dim. Oh, but the point is this, to be brought with Christ, our only hope, Christ, our only plea. Now, don't take it for granted. I believe that many perish through a take-it-for-granted religion. I'm sure as long as I do my best, everything will be all right. Oh, don't be deceived, friend. You know, we can say these words. We can repeat them. Oh, but if you can say that your chief desire this morning, more than anything else, is if the Lord Jesus would give you that precious faith, scatter all your darkness, sin, and unbelief, that you might look to him for salvation and see him coming to you in a way of blessing, just like the Good Samaritan, coming right where you are to do everything for you. But the Lord has promised it. It's a gracious promise. It's a promise of love and mercy. It's a promise that comes from the cross of Christ. I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Now, you will have many mountains in providence. Mountains before you in your life. There may be some of you with mountains before you and just now, and you can't see any way forward or any way through. But the Lord can make a way where there is no way. Sometimes he says, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. There's no mountain there now. But these mountains that are in your way, there are some people with their health. And there are some concerning those they love. And then looking forward to the unknown day, that date that you have written down. You don't know what's going to happen, but you know that date before you, that trial or that thing you can't manage, that thing that's looming large before you, or that thing that's too hard for you. Mountains. Oh, but when the Lord Jesus says, they are my mountains, and I will make them a way, all of them. And of course, Satan will tempt you in this. Some of the Lord's people have a thing in their life, and they know that it never will be removed. Now, how does that fit in with a word like this? Well, in an outward sense, the mountain wasn't going to be removed. But so often the Lord will deal with it in your souls, the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, and making the mountains a plain there. I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. There are many mountains that the Lord's people have as they travel heavenwards. And I mean things like this. Walking in darkness at times. The temptations of Satan. A hard heart. Coldness. Deadness. Barrenness. And if your religion is real, these things are mountains to you. And you can't deal with them. You can't move them. But the Lord says, I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. You're not going to succumb to Satan's temptations, no. You are not always going to be in darkness. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. That hard heart is going to be made soft. I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. That wintry condition, the springtime is going to come. I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. So, what is it that you have today in your life, or in your circumstances, or in your relationships with other people? You see, what is a mountain to one isn't a mountain to another. And if the Lord means a thing to be a mountain, it will be, but not so that you might despair, but so that you might know and see his blessed ability to help you. He giveth more grace as the burdens increase. He blesses you with strength equal to your day. He kindly upholds you. He supplies all your needs. He blesses you with his gracious presence. And these things are promised. I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. And if you think of the figure, now I don't know whether you've ever read one of those sermons of Spurgeon. And I think his text was, "Who art thou, O great mountain?" But he started off, remember, he had a vast congregation, Spurgeon, when he preached, vast congregation. And he said when he started off, "Most of the people in this chapel will never have seen a mountain in their life." Now remember, that was speaking in the 19th century in the middle of London. Nowadays, all people have seen a mountain, especially in Loch Alsh and Skye. Well, literally, in the great day, all these mountains are going to depart. That's going to be the power of God, literally, in that last great day. All those mountains brought down. But to see a mountain and to think of how striking this figure is, "I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted." Zechariah 4:7, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain." Now what was happening there? Well, the temple of Jerusalem meant so much to God's people, the Jews, and it was in the ruins. And the people had started rebuilding it, but had stopped. The power of the state was against them, and the people had no heart. And poor Zerubbabel was discouraged. And he felt that the temple should be rebuilt. What was it? It was 12 years, and not a stone had been laid on another. There was no possibility of it ever being finished. And the Lord spoke, "Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it." Who art thou, O great mountain? You know, it's not a question. It's a challenge. And it doesn't matter who the mountain is, what the mountain is, spiritually, providentially, great, small, in your family, in your circumstances. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. And the temple was built. But then, when you think of that greater temple, the sure foundation laid for sinners in Zion, in the person and work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and his work going on. Oh, but at times it seems slow, and at times it seems to come to a stop. He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. What a glorious truth. But doesn't it make you stop and think? When that last living stone is laid in its place, the top stone brought forth, time no longer, grace, grace unto it, will you and I be found among those living stones in Zion above, and built on the sure foundation? Or will our religion prove to be nothing but scaffolding? Perhaps rising higher than the building, making a great show, but never a living stone, and never built on the foundation. I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Friend, if you have a mountain before you, the Lord Jesus is going to go before you. And when you come to that mountain, the Lord Jesus is going to be there. And may you be able to say, like old Caleb, give me this mountain. Just full of enemies, Anakims, adversaries. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able. And may there be a few of you this morning able, on the ground of this word and promise, to look at this mountain before you and say, give me this mountain. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able. And I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Well, there are many mountains in the lives of God's people, but none of us have yet reached our last mountain. And that will be higher. And that will be the most frightening. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's one thing speaking about it, but it's another thing to come there. Oh, but this great and glorious promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all my mountains, and it includes that last great mountain. My mountain, says the Lord Jesus, and it was a mountain to him. Oh, but how he triumphed. And in his death, how he triumphed for all his people. In his precious sin-atoning blood, how he triumphed. And then come, see the place where the Lord lay, an empty grave. How he triumphed in his glorious resurrection. And then as he led them out as far as Bethany, and he ascended into heaven, and how he triumphed, Christ exalted on the throne, and not just for himself, but for each poor, trembling believer who trusts in him and who has a living union to him. He says, where I am, there ye may be also. All my mountains. And that last great mountain, to land a believer safe on Canaan's side. And friend, the wonderful thing is that Satan never yet has triumphed with one, and he never will. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has been victorious with them all. Well, what a word this is. And some of us, time and again, have proved this over the years. And may many of you prove it. that the things that you have before you this week, and in the unknown way, as you go home now, and as you stop and think, and as you have things in your hearts, and all these things, and then at that last great mountain, and I will make all my mountains, all of them, a way. Amen. Let us stand for prayer. O loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy most precious word. We thank Thee, Lord, for the promises contained therein. May we not only understand them, but may we believe them, and may we plead them. And, O Lord, we pray that all these mountains before us may be made a plain as Thou hast promised. Even now, draw us to Christ. In His name we ask it, and for His sake. Amen. Let us turn in conclusion to read in order to sing from Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and reading from verse 13. Such pity as a father hath unto his children dear, like pity shows the Lord to such as worship him in fear. For he remembers we are dust, and he our frame well knows, frail man. His days are like the grass, as flower in field it he grows. For over it the wind doth pass, and it away is gone. And of the place where once it was, it shall no more be known. But unto them that do him fear, God's mercy never ends. And to their children's children still his righteousness extends. To such as keep his covenant, and mindful are alway of his most just commandments, that they may them obey, and so on. These verses of Psalm 103, 13 to 18, such pity as a father hath unto his children dear.